My name is Charlotte Bradford. I am 12 years old. Today is November 25th, 2018, and I'm speaking with John Bradford, who is my father. We are recording this in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. So, first question is, tell me a little bit about your parents and kind of your childhood and what it was like growing up.
Sure. So, I grew up in Southern California. For most of my early years, we lived there. My parents had met. My dad was in the Navy, and moved around a little bit, stuff. But they met in Pensacola, Florida, and then had spent some time in Hawaii, and then went back to Pensacola, and ultimately we settled in Southern California, Orange County, where my dad had basically grown up. And had family and brothers, stuff there. So we kind of grew up there in a kind of a small neighborhood. We went to local elementary school, and could walk. You know, it was very close by. Had a small three-bedroom house. And I lived there with. I had a brother and my two sisters, stuff. So we all basically grew up in that house. And
So kind of looking a little bit deeper into like childhood stories, what was one of the worst things you think you did as a kid?
Nothing too horrible, but I'm sure it was more worse for the adults involved. So there was one time I recall, I had a mischievous friend down the street and who was also named John. And we just ended the kind of holidays. We were on holiday break and kind of bored looking for things to do. And everybody had put their Christmas trees out at the road after the holidays. And for some reason that bothered us, or we didn't think they were ready to go, be picked up yet and mulched. So we started collecting all the trees that morning and putting them in his backyard. So when his dad got home, you know, we found a collection of 12 or, you know, 13 Christmas trees piled up in his backyard. And of course the trash pickup had already came, so we were stuck with all these trees, so kind of no place to get rid of them. So he made us part of our penalty after yelling at us stuff. We had to drag them all up to the school, and we put them in the dumpster and stuff up there. So that was one that was kind of a mess. Another thing I probably personally did, which was probably not good, was my parents had a Cadillac, which was a fairly nice car at the time, and
oh, no.
We always enjoyed washing it, and go wash the cars, stuff, play with the hose and things, and I thought it'd be a good idea. I took out the what turned out to be an oven cleaner. And that you would puncture and use it to, you know, really scrub out the interior of your oven, and proceeded to wash the hood of the car with this thing. And it kind of ate off the clear coat and stuff off the hood of the car before my aunt saw it and quickly stopped. So I didn't get too far with it, but it certainly ate the outer layer of the paint off the front of the car. So and I don't know if my dad actually found out what happened there, or if he was just puzzled why the hood didn't quite look the same as the rest of the car anymore stuff. So so that was some things I probably shouldn't have done.
I'm sure there's many more,
but yes.
So talked a little bit about the story with your friend and kind of relates to like school. So What were your feelings towards school as you were growing up, through middle school, elementary school, high school, or kind of your feelings and thoughts about going to school every day?
Yeah, I kind of struggled. Struggled certainly in elementary school. Didn't really like it. Didn't enjoy going. Would come up with all sorts of excuses, or just adamantly say I was not going to school that day. So for whatever reason, one reason or another, I just didn't like it. So I was fairly quiet and introverted stuff, so I didn't like it when teachers would call on me or ask me, engage me in class and stuff. So I was felt like the solution was that that I just wouldn't go stuff. So, but over time, probably by fourth or fifth grade, I started doing a little better and enjoying it more. I started developing proficiency in math, particular, and felt some confidence in that subject area and stuff, which was probably lacking before and stuff. So that helped. That made it more tenable to go. And but generally, still elementary and middle school kind of didn't like it. We moved halfway through middle school out to North Carolina, so a big change in culture. Stuff there and in the school system, and but generally by the time I got into high school and had a little more specific classes and things that I liked, particularly in the sciences, math and science stuff, I started enjoying it a lot more. Enjoyed doing sports after school stuff, and then by the time I was in college, I was really enjoyed school and kind of loved it and stuff. So that put me on the path to staying through college, through undergrad, and all the way through graduate school.
Yeah. So kind of going back to around the time when you started developing in math and science, if you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you?
And but for maybe a couple different reasons. I think just because it was a fun time, and not having a lot of responsibility and a lot of things. I think you always will look back generally fond of earlier years, as they seem simpler.
Yeah.
Simpler time and such. So, and I think the reason would be to take more advantage of the opportunities and things to do better and such. Kind of don't appreciate it while you're in the middle of it, and then look back and see like, oh man, if I had known that, or I should have done this or that. Mm-hmm. Stuff is some opportunity to redo and do things better. But with that, I'm very happy with where I'm at. So, you don't have regrets.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I could have learned so much more, or some things that mm-hmm. you struggled with or thought were really hard. Now, not through any additional knowledge, you just understand them, the rationale for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make it much easier and funner. So
could you tell me a little bit about your siblings and kind of what growing up was like with them? Any crazy stories there?
Sure. Yeah. So both my mom and dad have big families, a lot of brothers and sisters, and they wanted trying to have a large family stuff. So most of my early years, I was with my, there was four of us, a brother and two sisters. Later on in high school, after my mom remarried, we had two more sisters, so there was actually six of us and such. But most of my growing up was with the four stuff. And that was, of course, always interesting. You always had a friend. You always had somebody to play with, because there was three other kids kind of your age in the house and stuff. So that certainly has an advantage. But we didn't have a lot of money, so you were also this thing of you were constantly kind of competing or struggling for things, either toys or food or a last piece of cake, who got the bigger piece or what. So there was always that dynamic and mm-hmm. competition with your brothers and sisters over who gets what. So we shared rooms. I shared a room with my brother, and my two sisters shared a room at our first house for a good bit, and that has its challenges, but so it's good and bad. But certainly now as older, it is nice to have that big family
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So as I talk with them, all of them, every couple days,
yeah,
and stuff. So I would hate to have missed that for the opportunities of having a couple extra toys or extra things growing up. So
cool. So kind of closing up the childhood portion, were there any teachers or adults that like really impacted you as you were growing up, or maybe created a big turning point in your life?
Yeah, sadly, I'd probably say nobody was, you know, no single person, you know. I wish there maybe there had been and such, but I definitely had teachers that stood out and were more influential, and certainly were, I'm glad they were around and corrected me when I was out of line and gave me some good advice that has stuck with me, you know, for a long time and such. So, but it wasn't ever, a single individual. It was a lot of advice coming from multiple sources that was probably consistent advice based on my actions or things I'd say or what they'd see.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So, yeah, so now.
Okay. So, share with me how you and my mom met.
Yes.
Maybe
so,
first day, things like that.
Yeah, I met your mom in high school. So, it was a small school. So, so somewhat surprising, I didn't actually meet her or know her name until the summer of my senior year, you know, going into my senior year, and she was a year behind, so she was starting her junior year and stuff. So we had just met, and she came out. I was doing running cross country, and she had joined cross country that year and stuff. So so I started paying attention to her, and she seemed very like a very nice girl, and then I asked her out you know, one night after practice or such, and we set a date, and it went out. So,
any first date stories?
Yeah, the first date was certainly interesting. you know, so we didn't have cell phones and Waze or Google Maps or anything. You literally had a paper map, maybe try and find somebody. So we lived in a fairly urban area. And, you know, lots of farms and long roads that really didn't make much sense where they were going. She lived on the other side of the county that I was not at all familiar with. And so I probably had a 10-mile, maybe 7 miles or so drive to school and stuff. And then she was miles on the other direction and such. So, you know, we're making our plans for, you know, after practice, hey, I was going to come over and pick her up, and we were going to go out to eat. You know, I certainly had her phone number, but, you know, again, we didn't have cell phones. So she was, you know, just standing in front of me. I still remember this conversation and describing to me, like, how to get to her house. And I'm just trying to take it all in and stuff. And it was go down this long road and then take this turn and then go down this turn stuff. So by the time I'm ready, stuff, I mean, it's pitch dark out, there's not like street lights or anything, you're just out in the, you know, in the dark on these dark back roads of the county.
Yikes.
And and then a storm came in and it was pouring down rain, and eventually I was 15-20 minutes late at least, trying to, from what time I told her I'd be there. So fortunately, I was driving by, I saw a flashing light, and got to an intersection. There was a convenience store, little shop. It wasn't like a 7-Eleven. This was a very small store. I think the store was actually even closed, but they did have a payphone outside. So I was so excited to see the payphone that I just kind of pulled off the road. But it had been raining so much and kind of flooded that the waters had risen up to make it look like it was level, and I was just pulling into the parking lot, but I was actually pulling into a ditch.
Yeah.
Stuff. So the car got stuck in the ditch. It's pouring down rain. I'm 20 minutes late for this date. This poor girl stuff probably thinks I've stood her up. So fortunately, I was right across the street from a volunteer fire department, and out of nowhere, these guys just showed up with a Jeep and a winch and pulled the car out of the ditch. And got me back on the road. They just took off. You know, I barely had a chance to tell them thanks. But kind of saved the day, saved the car. And I mean, all that happened in about 5 minutes. It was over with. So I got to the payphone, kind of described where I was at. I wasn't even sure where I was at. Stuff. And so I called her. So I believe her parents came and dropped her off or met me. They said, you just stay there and we'll come and drop her off. So it's still a mystery maybe why they were willing to do that. You know, drop their daughter off with some guy who apparently can't even drive, keeps car on the road, and, or find his way around the county and stuff. But they did, and we went out and had a good time and had dinner, stuff. And I took her home and asked her out again. So we ended up dating for 7 years, and got married once we both had finished college and while I was in graduate school.
Aww. Okay. So, what was I like as a child? Like, what was it like with me, little me running around, and then you? What was that like?
Yes. So you were obviously our first child, and experience with the joys of parenthood. But you were though fantastic. So you made it easy for us. So you put a smile on her face every day. You were always so funny, doing something silly, making funny noises, very active. You gave your mom a little bit of a stress and heartburn because you had some like reflex early on, where you after you'd eat, or we'd put you, you know, we'd feed you and put you in a car seat, and then you'd just spit up all over. So that was probably the first 6 months or 10 months or so. Yeah, that happens a lot, but it drove your mom nuts because she'd put you in a nice outfit, nice dress, and then all of a sudden it was ruined and stuff. So, yeah. So that was the only hard part or frustrating part. Great. For her was that. But you were always always laughing, happy baby. You were always singing. So I'd love to take you to go out shopping or go to the grocery store and just push you around because you'd just start singing. Or if I'd start singing a little bit of something and stuff, then you just take it from there, and everybody was just, you know, loved to stop and watch you, or, you know, wanted to hold you or such at the stores and things. So because you're just always so smiling and stuff. So you were a very determined child as you got a little older in terms of trying to figure things out, get out of your crib, get out of your room and stuff. So you were very adamant about doing that and stuff. So that was a little challenge stuff, but always fun stuff. So you made it fun for us.
So do you have any advice when it comes to raising kids?
Yeah, your experience? So, you know, now I'm still collecting my thoughts and reflecting on raising some. I'm not done yet. But you know, it certainly takes a lot of energy. So, and you got to put a lot of energy into it. You know, but somehow your brain forgets the late nights and the sleeplessness and all that part and stuff, and you just remember the good parts and stuff. But yeah, be prepared. It does take a lot of energy. So I think be prepared to be inconvenienced, you know, and you just accept that early on that things are going to happen, or you know, you have to put the child first oftentimes over what you want to do or such. It makes if you have accepted that, it makes it much easier and stuff to deal with things and plan and such. So I think it's when problems arise and there's that, you know, one of the parents maybe isn't willing or doesn't come to that realization, you know, or thinks this is going to be easy, or I'm not going to be inconvenienced, or it's, you know, not a big deal. So certainly you have to be prepared, I think, for that. Well, it's wonderful, though. You know, coming from a big family and stuff, having brothers and sisters, and, you know, just seeing that. It goes by very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know? So we have it seems like a long time at the start, but it goes by very quickly, and you have a very small window there to influence and actually special time as a family, growing family. Yeah. Because pretty soon you and your brother, we all grown up, moved out, and stuff. So, and we back to me, just me and your mom again. Stuff. So it goes by really quick. Stuff. So you gotta always take it in, take lots of pictures, take lots of videos, remember all those times, and take advantage of it when you have it, because there's always time for other things.
So one kind of final question to kind of close it all up. Can you give a semi-brief explanation of your career and kind of what you do for a living?
Yeah. So I'm an aerospace engineer.
Ooh.
And I work with, you know, space program, or basically anything dealing with space is of interest to me and what I get to do. So I kind of grew up on Star Wars and Star Trek. I've always been a bit of a space cadet and such. So when I couple that with interest and ability in science and and math, that kind of is a good fit for engineering, you know, career. You know, we're doing work in that area. So, and there's lots of different types of engineers. And when I was looking at colleges and looked at some descriptions, you know, of all the different mechanical, electrical, computer things, I saw this aerospace engineer, and I wasn't quite sure what that was at the time, stuff. But I read the description, and it sounded pretty cool, like, you know, like I could work on spaceships for a living or such.
Yeah.
So that obviously resonated, stuff. So I thought I'd give it a try, and eventually finished with my bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering, and then went on. I was at North Carolina State University in Raleigh, and then decided to continue on with my graduate work and get more expertise and specialize. So that put me at Georgia Tech, where I did my master's and PhD in aerospace. And so I finished that in 2001, and now I've been working in the industry since then, doing all sorts of cool things.
I think I've got one of
the best jobs in the world. So.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Move.